Thank you so much for the music. John the Baptist said, and we're not going to go to that chapter, John 1, but he said that he was not the true light, but who is the true light? Jesus was the true light. He says, "This is the light that lighteth everyone that comes into the world." Jesus is the light. And Jesus gives light. He was born into this earth to give light. We have a lot of things, symbols of Christmas, luminaries that remind us that Christ is the light. The choir is going to do tonight the candles of Christmas. And we're thinking about Christ being the light. But I want you to turn to Luke 11. And the title of the message today is Responsibility According to Light. Responsibility According to Light. Luke chapter 11, and let's go to verse 29 and read through verse 36, the 11th chapter division of the book of Luke. And when the people, beginning with verse 29, when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet." Now he's talking about some of the Pharisees and the Jewish people who were rejecting the Messiah. They kept wanting a sign. So he said, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas." Or Jonah, as we would know, "and behold, a greater than Jonas," or Jonah, "is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." People are always asking a question like this, and it disturbs them very often, and especially if they go to a foreign country and see so many people that are stooped in heathenism or religious heathenism, and they ask the question, "Will those who have never heard the gospel be lost? Will those who have never heard the gospel be lost?" Just because of their ignorance, does that mean that because they're ignorant of the truth or ignorant of certain things that they will not go to heaven? Well, my friend, they are lost if they do not get born again. The Bible says in Job 34:23, referring to the fairness of God, "For he will not lay upon man more than right." He's not going to require more than what is right, that he should enter into judgment with God. In other words, in the day of judgment, God will deal righteously with man. And he says in the scripture, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him," to that person, "it is" what? "Sin." Now, I wish I had time to go through Romans chapter 1. I don't have. I wouldn't get through the message. But in Romans chapter 1, we see a lot of description of paganism, don't we? As a matter of fact, it's pretty well a description of what's going on in our culture in America right now. Lesbianism, homosexuality, the Supreme Court's getting ready to make a decision on gay marriage and that type thing. It's a description of our present day, really. But it's talking about depraved man. And I want to say that paganism, as we usually think of it, has not always been an upward spiral in evolution from total darkness headed toward God. It has actually been those who had some knowledge and light of God who went downward, Adam and Eve, and followed the pattern all the way through. They had some light. But the reason heathen nations are heathen nations today is because, not so much that they were born that way, but because they at some point decided to turn away from the light that they had during that time. And so it's a declension. It is a degradation. They go downward from the light that God gave and the natural revelation that God has given. And he mentions that all of these things are proofs to people that there is a God. I heard one of the astronauts the other morning on Fox News, and they were asking him, and I'm not giving you verbatim what he said, they were asking him, when you got out there and you looked back down at the earth and saw the earth and all of that, what were your thoughts? And he said something like this, "My thoughts were that there has to be a creator. There's just no way that all of this could be like it is and there not be a creator." And I wanted to holler amen, because he wasn't a preacher, he was an astronaut. But he had enough sense to know, as he looked down upon earth from there when he was on the moon, to see that all of this was not just an accident, that there is a divine supreme designer, and that is God. But men fall into that condition of degradation. They once had some truth, but they denied that truth. They usually did not begin as pagans, reaching upwardly somehow and reaching outwardly to God, but rather having the light given to them, the clear revelation of truth, the clear revelation, and God began it that way, the clear revelation of himself. They turn from that. And you know, that's exactly what they do today. I believe there's enough revelation out there, and especially in the Word of God, but just the regular things that are out there, that anybody who really wants to know the truth can find out the truth. If they really want to know the truth about who God is. And today what happens to them is they maybe have been taught, they maybe have been trained, certainly those who live in Christianized America, at least it used to be, we've had a lot of Christianity, a lot of truth for all of these 200 plus years, and so we're without excuse, and they turn and reject the truth. That's what's happening in our society today. They're rejecting holiness. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting God's word. They're rejecting the truth. Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." Do you see, he was there. He was in their knowledge. But they didn't like God in their knowledge. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them then, after they chose to not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Four times in Romans chapter 1, God said something like this, an expression, God gave them up. God gave them up, or God gave them over. Now, why did God do that? Why did God give them up? Why did God give them over, give them up, as we would say it? Because they gave him up. They gave him up. He gave them up. They did not like to retain God in their mind. And so they turned from him, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, today, men are in darkness, and we don't deny that. On the face of the earth, a lot of people are in darkness. But here's one thing that God has given most people, something that is sort of innately placed inside the trichotomatic being, the body, soul, and spirit, that individual, and that is something called a conscience. Something called a conscience that God uses to bring us to a place where we know we should be saved. And I think just about everybody knows a little something about the conscience and rightness and wrongness, how that we should love our fellow man, and there should be some purity, and there should be some holiness, and there should be some good things in our life, and how we should treat others, and we could add many different things to that. It's sort of an innately born thing, a conscience in man, to just know that this is not natural, this is not right, this is the wrong thing to do. But then when they turn away from that, they go to things that are impure, things that are mean, things that are unkind, things that are untruthful. And what they are doing when they do that, they are sinning against the light that they have. They are sinning against their conscience. And so God speaks to that. And in the day of judgment, God is going to deal with that. In the day of judgment, God is going to deal with men according to the light they had and according to the light that they rejected. And all men have some light. The heathen are lost because of their own wickedness. They're lost because they rejected the light. And the heathen, as we call them, are guilty. They are guilty. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that some whole nations have turned away from God and have turned to other religions, have turned to many gods, have turned to polytheism and all of those things. Listen, that's a sad thing, but they are still guilty. But thank God, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm glad that He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, we have some responsibility. We have responsibility. Even though they have that light and there's darkness and all of that, we have a responsibility to go tell them how to be saved. To go tell them how to come to Christ. Suppose out there somewhere, and this has happened, we've had testimonies of missionaries before who went to a place and somebody said, oh, we were hoping, we were crying out to the being, to the deity, to send somebody to tell us the truth. Suppose a heathen man who wants to know, he wants to know the light, and he wants to follow the light that he has, and he wants to follow right. I believe this, that if that man has that desire, God Himself will make Himself responsible to give that light to those people. And God will send a missionary or somebody to them to tell them about Jesus Christ. H.A. Ironside said this, and I quote him, God will never allow a man to be lost who desires to be saved. He will give him light in some way or the other. I believe that to be true from the Word of God. Now, there are people who hear it today. They hear it just like they heard it then, and they do nothing about it. Let's go back in history just a little bit and talk about somebody called the Jewish people. And keep in mind, I'm not anti-Semitic, and I love Jews as much as I love Gentiles. And they can be saved. But here's the thing. The Jews he talks about right here wanted a sign. They wanted a sign. Give us a sign. Well, they had a sign. What did they have? They had the Old Testament. And any Jew that had studied and knew the Old Testament like he should know it would know passages of prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Isaiah 53, for instance. If they had just believed the Word, they had the Word, and they would have known who the Messiah was. And some, when you show them the Word in the Old Testament, they get saved. I heard someone this morning on television, on Day of Discovery, I didn't see them, but I heard them talking about the fact that they were Jewish and somebody came and told them and took the Old Testament and from the Old Testament showed them how to be saved and that Jesus was really their Messiah, and they got saved from showing them in the Old Testament. They had enough sign. They had the Bible, their Bible of that day. The problem was, they're like a lot of people today, they didn't search the Scriptures. They had allowed priests and Pharisees and Sadducees and religion and all of those things and certain traditions to come in and become far more powerful than the Word of God. And they missed it. They missed it. They had had the Word of God. They said, give us a sign. We want to satisfy our curiosity. They're still crying out for a sign today. They want signs and wonders. Well, we have the signs and wonders right here. We have the Word of God. We have all we need in this Scripture to do that. And in our generation, unbelief is unbelief because it is not resting on the Word of God. Friend, if you believe what God says in this book, you'll get saved. You'll believe Jesus is the only Savior. You'll believe God made man. You'll believe you're a sinner. You believe you need to be born again. You'll believe there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. God has given us all the sign and signs we need in the Holy Word of God. And the reason people don't believe is because they don't believe the Word. What is the sign? Well, he said one of the signs would be an empty tomb. Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Verse 30, what did he mean? What happened to Jonah? Well, we know the story that he was in the belly of the great prepared fish, the whale we would call it, that God prepared for him 3 days and three nights. And that was symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to die and be buried and then come out of the tomb. He said, we have a sign. You have a sign. And that sign is that Jesus walked on the earth and he never sinned and he was crucified, and there's an empty tomb to prove that he is alive. You have the sign of Jonas, the sign of Jonah. And then he said, you have another sign. Verse 31, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. She came from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He's saying she came searching for the truth. She had heard about Solomon and his God and how God had blessed him and all of his wealth and all of those things. And she came and she said, the truth has not been told. She said, it's far more than I ever expected. And no greater than Solomon is here. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. A greater, far greater than Solomon. You know, it's a terrible, terrible thing to sin against the light that you have. It is a terrible, terrible thing to turn your back against the away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think of this, at the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ, but the great white throne judgment, you are lost. You stand before the great white throne judgment. And here comes Jonah, and Jonah rails against you and says, you had a sign. I went through all of that so you'd have a sign and know who the Messiah was. But you, foolish person, rejected the Messiah. You turned your back on the Messiah. I went through all of that, and God did all of that to show you who the Messiah was. Think of facing the Ninevites. The Ninevites said, we were a wicked people, and one day there was a preacher that came by the name of Jonah, and Jonah preached to us, and right away we made things right. We had enough sense to know this is of God. We need to get right. And all of Nineveh had a revival, and people got saved all over Nineveh. Wicked, wicked, wicked Assyrian people. The capital of Assyria. Wicked people. And they're gonna say to you, you foolish person, we just heard a preacher one time and we got right. And we are a witness against you. You've had more than that, far more than what we had. And we responded and you haven't responded. And they will be witnesses against you. God grant that you would repent today. Today, with the light that you have. And we don't need to walk away from the light. Walking away from the light that we have is foolish. And you need to say, I'm not going to do it. I now trust him as my Savior. I now accept him. I give my life to him. Then he tells us we have a responsibility in verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it under a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. That makes sense, doesn't it? So it'll be a dummy that would light a candlestick to try to dispel darkness and go in there and put it under a bushel. And no light would get out in that room. It allows nothing to help, nothing to show. It only dims it. But God says we should pass on the light. Pass on the light. Now let me tell you something, Christian. How's your light shining? How's your light shining? You should not let anything, we're to pass the light on. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? Pass it on. How's your light shining? We should not let anything dim our light. Pass it on. He's the light. We've received the light. Pass the light on. That's what he's talking about. Let nothing come into my life or your life that would dim our light. By the way, does your next door neighbor know that you're light, that you're a Christian, that you're saved? I mean your next door neighbor. The light that shines ought to shine bright right around the house, shouldn't it? The next door neighbor ought to know. I heard about a man whose pastor, he was going away to work with a logging job, and he said, his pastor said to him, "Now look, you be careful out there. Those are wicked, hard men. You've never worked in that environment, and you be real careful when you go to work with these loggers." And he was going to be there 3 months. 3 months later, he came back, and the pastor inquired of him and said, "How did you do? How did it work out?" He said, "Oh, I didn't have any problem with them. I was the only Christian out of all of those men that were working on that logging job. But I had no problem out of him." He said, "Here's the thing. I managed to keep it secret that I was a Christian." Hey, we say that's bad for him. What about us? Does your next door neighbor know that you're light? Have you bothered to tell them about Jesus? Knocked on their door, rang their doorbell, or we could broaden that out further and further from that. In verse 34, he says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light." What does he mean by the word single there? I think we could interpret that and do no damage to the original language by saying it is sound. When the eye is sound, when your eyes are sound, you have healthy eyes, then the whole body is full of light. You see, my feet don't have eyeballs in them. My hands don't have eyes in them. But I have eyes here in my head. And if they're healthy, then they tell me and show me where to put my hands and where to walk with my feet. Why? Because they're healthy. If they're not healthy, if I am blind or don't have good sight, I know some people that are not totally blind. They're considered legally blind. I talk to people like that from time to time, and they need help. They need somebody assisting them in what they do, and there are some limitations as to what they can do and what they do. But God says when our eye is sound and single, if it's diseased, you've got some problems. Now let me tell you how to have good eyes, spiritual eyes. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on the greater light. We're the light of the world, but he was the light of the world. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. Keep our eyes fixed on Christ. I ran across this poem while I was studying for this message, and I loved it, and I'm going to share it with you. Listen to it carefully. "When my eyes are fixed on Jesus, I lose sight of all beside. So enchained my spirit's vision, gazing on the crucified." Friend, if we'll gaze on the crucified, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on the cross, we'll have healthy eyes. If we are occupied with him, If I'm occupied with Him, I'll have no problem finding my way through this dark world or anything that happens in the United States of America, because I can keep my eyes fastened on Jesus. Sometimes we let habits get in our lives, wrong things, and these habits block our light. The things that we allow in our lives, trashy literature, television programs that we should not watch, things on the internet that should not be there, attitudes that come into our hearts that shouldn't be there, pride, jealousy, envy, self-centeredness, other things that get in our lives. Friend, these things dim our light. Young people, how's your light among other young people today? Is your light bright? Is it bright? Is it shining brightly? If you let the world's culture, if you let them brainwash you into the world's culture, your light will be so dim that you'll have no impact. And of course, sometimes it obviously would be the adults. Our habits spoil our eyesight and give us moral darkness sometimes. What do we need to do? We need to give attention to the Word of God. You want good eyesight, spiritual eyesight, give attention to the Word of God. Stay in the book. Stay in the Word of God. Many Christians are not in the Bible. Some Christians say, well, I read it and I don't get anything out of it. I'm telling you, if that's the case, something's blinding you. You need to ask God to show you what it is that's blinding you. Because when you read this book, if you stay in this book and you are right with God, God's going to show you some things and enlighten your heart. And God stresses walking in the light that He gives. We need to walk in the light of the Word of God. We have a responsibility to do that. We have a responsibility to pass on the light. We have a responsibility to live right, to live with a clear vision. If the eyes are right, the whole body has light. If not, then we're not right. And the same is true in our light in relationship to a lost and dying world. And the Bible says men love darkness. Why? Why? Because their deeds are evil. They don't want the light. They'd rather have darkness. Jeremiah 13:16. Give glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness. Give glory to God before He caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, He turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. God may say to you, my dear friend, you want darkness? I'll give it to you. You want darkness? I'll let you have it. Enter that darkness, but keep in mind you're going to enter it forever. Forever and ever, separated from the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's a responsibility that is given us according to light. Walk in that light. Believe that light. Believe who Jesus is, who God is. If you've heard the gospel once, you have light. And you ought to thank God for being able to hear the gospel once. There are a lot of people who've never heard it one time. Not once. Never heard the gospel. I preached in France one time, and a guy, a university student, came up to me afterwards. He said, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. A university student. I've never heard that before. But friend, if you've heard it, you have light. And your conscience has to have something to do with convincing you that there is a God. And you are responsible to that God. And you need to be saved and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. After you get saved, you need to walk in the light of the Word of God and the truth. And live right and let your light shine. And then by God's grace, pass it on. Give out the light. Are you giving out the light? A responsibility. According to light. Let's stand, please. And Heavenly Father, I pray that today those who are here who have been given maybe the first time today, maybe they've heard it before, maybe many times, Maybe they heard it from their mother and daddy, grandpa and grandmother, some preacher, accumulation of numbers of people. They've been given enough truth, enough light that they need to respond and take that light and receive Christ today as their Savior. I pray that they would. Help us to search our hearts as believers to be sure there's nothing hindering our light. Some of us need the wicks trimmed. God, help us to get rid of anything that would cause our light to be hazy or unseen or unclear or not even seen at all, placed under a bushel. Like the logger who said basically that he never let them know that he was really a Christian. Oh God, keep us from that kind of thinking. May you bless us and help us to live for you and to pass the light along. In Jesus' name we pray.